Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
We are back once again, everybody. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name is Ara.
And my name is Rich over here on the side.
Having to reach for the microphone because he's sharing that seat with...
Val.
And...
Trade.
Jarrett.
Val and Jarrett. So you guys are... Val, we've talked about a lot. We've even had you on the show doing a phoner, right?
Yes.
And so Val owns, runs, and kicks your ass out of Play and Trade... at the Chandler Fashion Center Mall, is that what it's called?
That's correct. Play and Trade.
We have so many malls in this town, I can't keep track of all their names. Now, Jared, you're a player at Play and Trade.
Correct. He's not just a player, he's a tournament player.
Yeah, not just like some guy who goes into the store and plays the games. And we have you here because we're going to talk about that and the tournaments that go on and the coolness that is Play and Trade. But of course, we're going to talk about some other stuff too. We've got some recap of the Fox News shenanigans from last week.
That stuff is... I thought it might be kind of hot, but it's like, woo, off the charts.
Jack Thompson even stepped in on that.
Yeah, didn't he say something about like, those accusations are baseless and completely without thought, and this is not an ironic statement.
Are you just freeforming there?
Yeah.
Cold reading Jack Thompson?
Yeah, basically. I just made that up, but that's probably what he said.
No, he actually kind of backed it up and was like, what's wrong with Mass Effect? According to Rich, I didn't read this. Rich told me.
According to Brian Crescente and his emails back and forth with Jack Thompson.
Okay.
So.
You know, we're a collaborative group here, so I don't have to read everything. I can trust Rich.
Actually,
that's not necessarily true that I can trust you, but I listen to you anyway.
Here's a specific thing that shocked me more than anything else. Maybe you guys know about it already. Maybe you don't. But, you know, the mass of game fans... was so incensed, and rightly so, by, you know, the comments made by one Cooper Lawrence.
I'm not so incensed by the comments, but by the fact that she had the balls to say them and make them out to be true. Like, she can have whatever opinion she wants.
Sure, sure. So check out what happens, right? Amazon.com. Oh, look.
Oh, they screwed her,
dude. Cooper Lawrence has about 4 books, which if you go there and search for her name and... I really hate to be giving her all this attention because she really doesn't deserve it, but you
call
go there.
Schmooper warrants.
People have people have put up book reviews and
this
just given
sucks.
Her, given her
read
what,
it?
And they've like, I haven't even read this book and it sucks.
I love that. I read somewhere they said, yeah, you know, I haven't taken the time to read this, but I'm sure it's a piece of crap.
No, apparently there were about 400 negative reviews on one of her books.
Amazon took all the negative reviews down now.
Well, about 350 of which are off, and there's still about 40 or 50 still on there. I guess they're just, like, refreshing them over time, right? The most hilarious thing is if you go and, like, check out the book picture, people have added, like, pictures of Mass Effect as the book picture.
That's awesome. All right, so I also want to touch on Rich's absolutely idiotic statement that he plays games on easy all the time.
Well, hold on. We're not done yet.
Okay, we want to jump in. I was just trying to recap what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, no, but this is important here.
Okay, fine. Do your thing, and I'll keep looking for the emails that people wrote about Rich's crap.
This is, and I have more stuff to say about that
emails?
Later, too.
I got emails about you.
Oh, you got emails about me. Sweet.
You're still an intern, dude. You don't have an email box yet.
Okay, so... there's really only one more thing to say about this, which is why I wanted to get to it before we got off track as we are wont to do. But yeah, okay, so Cooper Lawrence actually made a statement on the New York Times, and she says, I recognize that I misspoke. I really regret saying that. And now that I have seen the game and seen the sex scenes, it's kind of a joke. Before the show, I had asked somebody about what they had heard, and they said, it's like pornography. But it's not like pornography. I've seen episodes of Lost that are more sexually explicit. So I am glad that she's actually admitting that she said something completely off base and incorrect. At the same time, I mean, like, framing it as misspeaking, I mean, like, come on, misspoke?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit beyond that.
Yeah, it's like about 2 universes beyond
that. How about you went on a major national and potentially international stage to denounce a game or any form of media, right, with absolutely no reason to do so?
Yeah, misspoke is like... You know, like, sorry, I meant to say that you were awesome, but I actually said that you were really cool.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I got to pay attention to the studies. And I'm like, aren't you the psychologist? Aren't you the one who's supposed to be doing the studies and making your own opinions?
So she has no – by the way, I should mention she has no – oh, yeah, she has a master's in psychology. All right, guys.
What
master's.
Else can you have?
A doctorate. You can be a practicing psychologist. You can do research.
Really? I don't know about all that schooling stuff. I didn't go to school much.
You could do that, or you could just be on the radio and like do like air traffic and like, you know, have a girl's advice show and stuff like that. And then, you know, that's pretty authoritative.
Or just like start a video game radio show.
That's even more authoritative.
As if you know something about the industry. Kind of like me, you know.
Well, you know, we all know that everybody listens to us.
Well, that's why I hired you, because you actually are in the industry. You're my backbone.
All right, that's all I got. That's all I got for you.
So I want to talk about Rich. Some people emailed us, and of course we encourage you to email us as well. You can find us on the website, Alana Chatterbox Game Show, Ara Chatterbox Game Show. You can also join in the live chat where people say things that we're not really allowed to say on the radio. But in the live chat, it's really free form. You do whatever you want. And that's at the website, chatterboxers.com and chatterboxgameshow.com. So anyway... that stuff we're going to talk about. If you have suggestions for other things, feel free to throw it into the chat or send us an email for future weeks of the show. But right now, I was going to say we would then talk about this Fox News thing, but it sounds like we've done it.
Oh, we've done it.
We've done it all.
Oh, yeah. There's a petition online. If you continue to be incensed, go to petitiononline.com/Fox News 9. You can sign a petition that basically is telling Fox News you better apologize because they haven't.
Yeah, and you could probably do something better than spend your time dealing with a petition.
Because online petitions are extremely useful and get things done all the time.
See, there you go. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
That's my point. All right. So let's talk about Rich. Rich, why don't you grab the microphone there? Rich, tell us again before the next segment. What do you do when you play a new game? You get a new game. You've never played this game before, but you've played many games.
Yes.
I'm so
glad you remembered to bring this up, by the way.
Yeah, you're not an old man. You've still got your instincts. I know that your ego might weigh you down sometime, but really, you're capable of playing games. You've got two strong thumbs.
Yes.
And what do you do when you get a brand new game? You unseal the package, you pop it in there, and it says, hey, do you want to be a pussy or a policeman? What do you do?
If it's a single-player game, I always put it on easy.
You mean pussy?
Easy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep.
When they list them in order, it usually starts with pussy. And so that's the level that you choose?
Yes.
Okay. And then why do you do that?
Because, I don't know. I would just rather play the game and play it and not have to be frustrated with a challenge.
Man, that's really interesting. Player. When you play Rock Band, what level do you play at?
I play on Expert.
Oh! Why do you do that?
Well, when I first played it, I played it on Medium. Because easy looked too easy, and I've played rhythm games before. But
who cares?
Play,
you just want to play the game, right?
One, I play Rock Band on Medium to start, and then I went to Hard, and then I went to Expert. You know, I scaled up. So when I get Rock Band, it's exactly like...
You know what? It's not easy enough for me to understand you with this music. I'm going to turn down the difficulty, and we're going to get back to you next segment.
All right.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
I'm Rich.
And we've got some special guests in the studio today. We've got
Val
and
Jarrett.
So Val is our very special friend from Play and Trade and Chandler, and Jarrett is a tournament video game player.
Can we not refer to him as our special friend, please?
Very special.
I want to limit that.
We like to give our guests the utmost of respect here.
You don't think we look gay enough? Two guys hanging out?
No.
No.
I don't.
All right. That's fine. Fine. Our very special friend, Val, I love you.
I'm special.
All right, Val. So tell us what's going on at Play and Trade these days.
What's not going on? Let me tell you what's going on in February. February is going to be our retro month. A lot of stuff going on in retro month. We're going to have, we call it the not-so-old-school tournaments. You know, in the days of gaming, things like Halo 1, Guitar Hero 1 are considered old school. We call it not so old school because they're in...
Because everybody there is like 7 years old and they haven't been alive during real retro games.
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you look at Guitar Hero's infamous... if you look at Guitar Hero, it came out when? 2005? I mean, it's gone through three different versions by now. And that's why it's not so old school. I mean, it's only 3 years old, yet it's already up to version 3.
It's kind of like medium school.
Yeah, something like that. So we're going to have a couple of tournaments. Halo 1, old school, 2 versus 2, and Guitar Hero 1 as well. Look for those. Those are going to be on Sundays, February 10th and February 17th. And, of course, we're going to lead up to something we call the Retro Invasion. Retro Invasion is going to be basically a day of free gaming. And this is really old school. This is going to be Atari, ColecoVision.
Oscilloscopes? Any oscilloscopes?
No, no.
No VIC-20s?
Nothing like that. Unless you want to bring it over. If you have those, we could maybe set those up.
Don't tempt us.
But it's going to be completely free. Everyone's invited. We're going to have raffles, prizes, giveaways, tournaments. Basically, it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be just a day for retro gaming.
And if you mention Chatterbox, you'll get a kiss on the cheek by Val.
Our very special
friend. Why don't you
do
the honors?
I'm kidding, of course, everybody. Please don't go and kiss Val.
You can hang out that day and hand out the kisses or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an Armenian thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Brow down, brother.
Yeah, right on. Okay, so we're also going to do a really cool promotion where we're going to give you guys right now on the air a trivia question. And if you know the answer to this question and you go on down to Play and Trade down in the Chandler Mall and you tell Val the answer, he's going to give you what are you going to give him, Val?
A kiss on the cheek.
Besides that,
you're going to get 10% off any used game in the store, any used game.
Okay, so here's the question. Listen up, everyone.
We can totally do better than 10% off on any used game.
All right. While Alum haggles for more than 10%.
give him Barbie for the Super
Here's
Nintendo.
The question. Which game included the very first Easter egg, and what was the egg? And if some of you don't know what we mean by Easter egg.
Hidden stuff.
Fail. A secret, hidden stuff, right?
Yeah,
and, there you go,
and if you built it on your own computer and we didn't see it, it doesn't count. It's the one that we all know about.
Right. It's not the game that you first made. It's the first game ever that anyone made.
Yeah. Well, it's not the first game that anyone made. Maybe there was an Easter egg that I didn't know about.
What?
In a game that my brother made in 1965.
Well.
If he was alive in 65.
We're talking about video games here.
I know, I'm just saying.
I'd be really impressed, though, if someone made, an Easter egg for chess. Like, what, there's, some rule that, nobody knew about. It just appeared out of nowhere.
A Lunar Lander. Whatever that game was. That Space Wars.
Yeah.
No?
No Easter eggs.
Fine.
After,
whatever.
After Space Wars.
You guys all know the answer. I'm sure somebody will. And that's where the advantage comes in to the people who listen live.
That's
on
right.
The radio or through the stream on the website rather than through the podcast.
There you go.
Val was actually saying we have far more local listeners than we really appreciate it.
We're amassing an army here. Do you realize this?
Well, Chatterboxers. I had no idea that we had a lot of local listeners who might actually go to the store. But, you know, because no one actually calls into the show or, shows up to harass me when I go out to my car after the show.
If you'd like to prove Alon wrong, you can call in at 866-536-1100.
You see how we did that lead-in?
And let's get down to business now.
Are we going to acknowledge the fact that I didn't talk about what we said we'd talk about this segment? About Rich
no.
being a stooge?
No, we're not going to acknowledge that whatsoever.
All right. We'll just save that for later.
We'll just keep going as if nothing happened. So Jarrett's with us, and Jarrett is a tournament game player. Now, are you professional?
Yes, I am.
He is a professional video game player. And
can we define professional video game player for a second?
So basically making money off video games, and, you know, a lot of people realize that, you know, that's not a job. I mean, that's like my second job and also my hobby, you know.
So it's not like exhibitions, though. It's tournaments. That's where the money comes in, right?
Correct.
Although maybe one day we'll have exhibitions and then, like, you know, people can rake in money doing that.
So I've met a lot of people at the various, you know, shows, E3s and whatever that I've gone to over time. And I met one guy in particular that springs to mind who now works at Capcom. And he would tell me or I'd hear through other people, whatever, about how he would win all this money playing video games in these tournaments in California. Like, there were thousands of dollars going for Crazy Taxi or for other games of you know, the time back then. Are these the sort of tournaments that you're running? Because I don't see advertisements for tournaments where I can win 25 grand, and I don't know how these people found out about them, but apparently they exist. Is that the sort of stuff that you're involved in?
Yes. Yeah, so basically, you just, you know, you look online and just any other tournament that that shows up. I mean, you know, I Google it every single time. I can't hear myself.
That's fine. It's not coming in your headphones. Who cares?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, I Google every single time, and, you know, I just find them locally and also, you know, not internationally, but, you know, national as well.
And so you'll travel around the country to find these things?
Correct.
What's, like, the longest distance you've ever traveled to go to a tournament?
Chicago, Illinois.
And what games do you play? Which ones are, like, do you have, like, a set of games that are, like, all right, these are my, like, tournament games that I'm practicing all the time, or how does it work?
It's mostly all first-person shooter, FPS. And
see, I hate to hear that.
Yeah.
That's where the money is, dude.
But I
think to myself, there was a competition in Crazy Taxi once where this guy I knew won like 10 grand.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. That's a fun game. You can be good at it. You can practice it. Great. There can be a little subculture around this game for a certain period of time. But then, first-person shooters. Then you're going to see the same people every single time doing well at first-person shooters because they're all, essentially the same mechanics.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see this small group of people.
Doesn't impress you a lot?
No, it does, but it's one category of game. It's like you don't send a curler to do a shot put.
Right.
Right.
Well, really,
and I want to see this varied, you know, sensibility.
I don't want to see a variation. I just want to see all tournaments be on driving games.
Well, you don't hear about – I mean, you hear poker tournaments, right? I mean, they're huge. Texas Hold'em. You don't hear, like, gin rummy tournaments, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, but that's one game. You do at least see people playing in different types of poker tournaments, but I don't know if it's directly analogous. There's so many different types. There's, you know, movie – well, I mean, we have video game awards too, but – I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do that have different categories, and I just see all this money being thrown into first-person shooters because they are popular, and that's great.
Yeah, it's got to be the popularity thing. I mean,
I just wish there was something else. I want to see.
I do too.
Picross Masters.
Absolutely. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Actually, there's also different games, like, you know, there's Shadowrun, for example. I mean, that's not first-person shooters, and then Gears of War.
Shadowrun may not be a first-person shooter, but come on, it's the same as all first-person shooters, isn't it?
Right. What about Smash Brothers? I mean, Smash Brothers is completely...
I will give you that, sir. There are lots of Smash Brothers tournaments.
Yeah, there's a lot of Smash Brothers tournaments, and there's a good amount of money, just like Halo tournaments as well.
That's good. I like to hear that. Can you play online in the new Smash Brothers? Like, if you know your friends, you can, right, Rich?
Rich is the authority.
Do what now?
On Smash Brothers.
Are you paying attention? Smash Brothers Brawl, right? You can play online, right?
I don't care. I know you can play online, but you have no idea who you're playing, so it's completely useless.
Okay.
You might as well just be playing computer players because you don't know who you're playing against. It's the dumbest thing ever. Brawl,
that's a topic for another day.
It's
going to
be worthless.
All right, thanks for that aside, Rich.
All right.
Now, I've got a couple questions that I've always been dying to ask somebody like you, actually.
Frothing namely, at the mouth every week.
Almost,
we need to get a tournament player in here.
Almost literally, yes.
Fingers right. Tapping, teeth chattering.
So, I'm curious, how many hours a day do you play games?
How many hours? Let's see.
That's the first part. And the second part is it like work? I mean, do you get tired? Are you like, oh man, I got to spend 5 more hours playing tonight because, you know, if I don't, then, you know, people are going to one-up me or whatever.
Right. No, I mean, this is, you know, practice makes perfect. And, you know, like the many hours you put in, you get more practice as you can. And, I mean, honestly, to tell you the truth, I mean, I'd probably did 16 hours a day at one point.
And you don't get, like, tired? Or, I mean, like, what is that like? What does that feel like?
Honestly, I don't, you know, just, I mean, I'm really fatigued, and, I mean, I'm tired, but, you know, I just open up a Ball's energy drink, and, you know, I keep drinking away, and just, I have all that energy, and just keep playing.
You're not wearing glasses. Do you wear contacts?
No.
Interesting.
Cybernetic implants.
We'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
Okay, we're back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
My name's Aura.
But I'm Alon.
Yes, you are.
And that's Rich, not by a microphone. And of course we have...
Val.
And Jarrett.
On the show with us today. So we're talking about the tournaments that are run in general, not just at Play and Trade. But Play and Trade is trying to basically come in and be a major source of tournaments across the country, really, right?
Pretty much.
Right. And Play and Trade is kind of localized. It's not all over the... It's not really spread as much.
Oh, there's about 130 stores around the country.
Are they all like California, Arizona, Chicago, or are they...
They're everywhere, including Canada. I think they're spreading pretty much outside of U.S. as well.
All right.
Puerto Rico, I think there's like three of them.
It's the beauty of franchising, isn't it?
That is the beauty.
All right, but you guys
but
have, you have a tight network, right?
Not as tight as it should be. You know, each franchisee does their own thing. And
but don't they have tournaments that compete score-wise against other stores?
They do. They have national tournaments. As a matter of fact, there is one coming up. It's going to be Guitar Hero. I know you like Guitar Hero a lot. It's going to be a
big fan.
National Guitar Hero tournament coming up mid-March.
I think you need to have an entire rock band thing where everybody has their team, their band, and then score based on that.
Well, yeah.
Alon's been practicing with his band. He's just dying for an outlet.
I
Floyd
agree.
And the Crispy Pops taking over the world.
There will be something coming up with Rock Band soon, but to get back to the Guitar Hero part, these things are national. Every store has the opportunity to get involved in these tournaments. And the best part about it, they're usually sponsored by, you know, the gaming manufacturers. So I believe the franchisor, Play and Trade, is currently working with Activision and setting this up.
Right on.
Just like they did with the previous one, which was Halo 3, and that was with Microsoft.
During the break, we were talking about how you're forbidden from giving out actual cash in the tournaments that you win just because of city laws that
yes.
exist in Chandler, Arizona, right? But I could have sworn I've seen these nationwide tournaments put on by Play and Trade that advertise cash as prizes. Am I wrong about that?
They advertise cash and store credit. So
okay.
the winning store... Or the winning player of that store gets the prize or gives away the prize in store credit, and then of course they get refunded by whoever sponsored that tournament.
Okay, so it's always going to be store credit, or that like if you're in a city that allows cash, you might get cash.
No, it's pretty much always store credit. There's a couple of reasons behind that. One is it may be the law for that particular city. And two is we want people to use that credit in our store. We don't want them to go to
well,
the competitor.
Of course. It's a business model, and I can appreciate that.
Exactly.
I just, obviously, since I was confused, and I'm one who reads fine print a lot, it's just that since I wasn't involved in the tournaments, I didn't bother reading fine print. But I want to be clear here. Store credit's still great because I spend all my money on games anyway. What's the difference? And Play and Trade, I mean, it's not like you're overpriced or anything. So
well,
I'm happy to spend it there.
I mean, it's great that you can win, let's say, $2,500. But at the same time, $2,500 is probably going to buy you, you know, a couple of Wiis, you know, maybe two PS3s.
10, to be exact.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, if you want to spread it wisely, let's say, over long periods of time. So it's not a big loss. Let's just put it that way. And, of course, you get bragging rights, too. I mean, if you win... Yeah, your name is out there. Among
maybe you'll
all
get
the
to go on a radio show or two.
Sure.
Has Play and Trade ever been a qualifying center for larger tournaments that are controlled outside of Play and Trade?
Play Trade is trying to establish themselves to be that kind of authority. You know, as they're growing, as more and more stores are opening up, I think the plan or the goal is to open somewhere around 500 stores by the end of the year. And these tournaments. They're one of the things that sets us apart, one of many things that sets us apart. My store, for example, it's nearly 3,000 square feet.
It's now, one of the bigger ones, right?
It's the biggest.
The biggest Play and Trade?
The biggest Play and Trade.
And it's at a mall.
It's right outside a mall. It's outside the Chandler Fashion Center Mall. And
plenty of hotties walk around your store. It's at the
yes,
mall.
Yes,
yes. Yeah. Rent is high at a mall.
I'm sorry?
Rent is high.
Rent is very high. And, of course, per square foot, it's very high. You know, and if you've seen most of these video game stores, they're like, you know, 800 square feet, you know, 1,000 square feet. That's the average size of a store. I went out there. You know, I went bigger, mainly because I kind of want to be the authority in tournaments. You know, I want to be the guy who's setting the limits, who's setting the goals. And I want to get people to come in and kind of, you know, we want to be known for putting out the best tournaments out there.
All right, so let's get back to Jarrett to talk about the actual tournaments. One thing you were saying is how this is like your second job, I don't know what your first job is, but you actually make a reasonable amount of money doing this?
Oh, yeah.
In cash?
Oh, in cash, yeah. Okay. Definitely cash. But, I mean, I shouldn't say this, but, you know, whatever I make from his store, you know, credit, you know, you buy whatever you want, and then he goes, like, post it on Craigslist.
That's fine, dude. You can flip it on eBay.
You know, so.
As long as he made his cut,
exactly.
He's happy. He doesn't care what you do.
That's it.
That's exactly
it.
It
might be great if you bought it and then sold it, and then that person traded it in to play and trade.
Right. I think it happened a few times.
Right. Like, perfect example. I mean, I just won the last tournament was a Call of Duty. I mean, Call of Duty is not, you know, actually my game, but, you know, I actually made it my game, and, you know, when I went to the store, I mean, there was a lot of competition there, you know, and I played, and, you know, I won, and I won like a good amount of credit. It was $200, and then I bought a Japanese controller,
yeah,
which is, you know, only in Japan, of course, and I sold that on Craigslist, and, you know, made $75, so, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. So I want to hear a story about when you've gone into some tournament and, first of all, had to travel far away, how you deal with having to leave far away and then have expenses.
Right.
Right? Because playing in a tournament nearby, whatever, you pay a few dollars, you play, big deal.
Sure.
But, like, you have to travel, you have to stay somewhere,
correct,
you have to buy food, all these expenses that go in as a risk factor.
Right.
For what if you don't win in the tournament?
Yeah, so, basically it's like gambling, like, you know, how you're presuming it. Like, just, I mean, Anaheim, I mean, that was probably the most expensive one I've been to because it's right next to Disneyland, and that hotel was, like, I think $350 a night. And that was actually our rate through the tournament's company, it was MLG. And I think the actual rate was like $500. And so, I mean, they knocked $150 off just for MLG. But, I mean, it was still expensive. And
you stayed at the wrong hotel, dude.
I know. I should have, you know, stayed at a motel, actually. But, you know, I wanted to be there right next to the convention center. And, you know,
hey,
where
you know,
all the video gamers are.
You have to make some compromises, you know, when you're doing the Rockstar.
I want to see you compromise and stay at a $350 hotel.
Never going to happen.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
So one thing I'm curious about is what do you do? Let's say you have, like, a really big tournament coming up in, like, 2 or 3 days, right?
Okay.
What do you do to prepare for it?
Get online and practice, and then I call up my buddies. I'm like, hey, you want to throw a LAN over? And they're like, sure. So, I mean, they all come over, hook up Xboxes, TVs, and you just practice and practice, practice.
So it's just like straight up, like, let's just play as much as possible.
Right.
Right, before the thing.
Do you guys walk around town like acting like a gang or anything?
No.
Is there any kind of like psychology like between your opponents? Like, do you know some of your opponents and you like, are there like psychology games that go on between you guys or like anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually, I mean, a lot of competition and like some people like locally, I mean, you know, I told them I was going to be on a radio show tonight and they're like, what? No way. I mean, I'm almost decent as you. I mean, how come I'm on a radio show? I'm like, hey, you know, you have your sources. Or
you don't know the right people, man.
Exactly. Well, there you go.
So. I mean, going back to the game of poker, you know, you watch poker on TV or maybe even in person and one of these tournaments, and you know it's all about the mind games. These guys are wearing glasses to cover themselves up. You know, it's the way it's the way you present yourself on the floor, you know.
Play in a dress.
Yeah, there you go.
It's totally psych them out.
Hey, I played in a pimp outfit on Halloween.
That's cool. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we had a Halloween tournament. It was an all slasher. It was pretty cool. But yeah, what you do and what you say on the floor, there's a lot of words that fly out there.
It's like being inside of Xbox Live.
Yeah,
for several hours.
So what is one of like the most intense experiences or moments that you've had in a tournament? Can you tell us a bit about that?
When it comes from an 8-man free for all down to head to head. I mean 1v1. I mean that's the top of the key right there. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It just gets intense and you get sweat going on and you're just in the game, you know, and it's every effect in the game, you know, to cause you to die or whatnot. You know, that's your money. So
you're saying when it gets down to one-on-one tournament, it's just your controller versus another guy's controller. That was a Killer Instinct tournament years ago.
You like that game?
That was heated. I'm still pissed off about the way it went down. I got second place.
I demo that game daily, by the way.
On the Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
It's all right.
We had the arcade.
It's no Tubin. I mean,
all right. Well, listen, we're going to break. And after the break, we will once again mention UAT, our wonderful sponsor.
That's right.
But we'll also talk about Rich and his stupidity.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
And we've also got our two
esteemed guests.
Esteemed. That's such a nice word. Thank you, Alan. Esteemed guests.
Val.
And
Jarrett.
Now, of course, I said before the break, we've neglected to mention our wonderful sponsor, UAT. That's the University of Advancing Technology. If you want to view more about them, their website is uat.edu.
Who we also hold in esteem.
Yeah, well, Jared was even telling us they have a lot of tournaments over there, LAN events there.
In the non-gay way.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that before, how they run actually some cool things that I like to go to, even though I've already graduated. But it's also because I'm like 12 inside. So... anyway, I wanted to get back to this other concept. We talked earlier in the show.
Yes, and I wanted you to get back to it, too.
All right, so this bit that we were talking about was Rich last week towards the end of the show. We didn't have enough time to talk about it.
Rich likes to play games on easy.
He does.
But not any game, because he likes to play Guitar Hero on Expert and Rock Band.
Oh, yeah. I know that you weren't saying universally you want to play on easy, but these people, you were basically saying, I think what it comes down to is you're trying to say, games with story, where you're basically watching the game, you said you want to have the experience without having to struggle through the game, right?
Yep.
Okay. If I may interject here. I think I can shed some
light. Interject, please.
I think I can shed some light on this situation.
All right. I know what he means. I want you to go into your shtick, too. But I'm going to say that I think if you delve deeper, I also have more on the subject. But please.
Well, very impressive.
Let's hustle this
interpret,
up.
Interpret for me.
It struck me when you guys brought this up because I experienced the very, very same thing about 2 or 3 years ago when we were playing this demo of Silent Hill 4. I think it was The Room or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And
Silent Hill 3 or 4, I don't know.
The Room, whatever which one The Room is, right? And, you know, me and some of my game developer friends were all, you know, huddled around the screen or checking out this game. And, you know, as since we're game developers, we're kind of like critiquing and evaluating it at every step. And all of a sudden, I just realized something. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm really curious. I want to see what's going on here. This is really fascinating, but I don't want to feel challenged doing it. And the sensation of this is so strong that it's like, you know, that I don't want anything to like – anything that obstructs me from finding out more about what's going on is like a nuisance. It's like an annoyance. And I think that where that comes from, you know, after thinking about it in retrospect, it's like the kinds of experiences that like a narrative produces for you as compared to, you know, something that's like, you know, I don't know, like you're fighting like an enemy or you're just doing something mechanical that's in real time, right? Like just like, you know, video game mechanics, whatever they are, right? They're two experiences that are so characteristically necessarily different that when you combine them into two, right? It's like you don't – like one of them becomes just an annoyance from the other. It's like, you know, it's like you put in some kind of porn tape or whatever and you have to listen to 12 lines of dialogue.
Very
and like,
annoying.
You know, it's like, come on. Like, that's not what I bought this for.
Yeah, and, you know, that's exactly what I was going to say. So we got this email. We got actually – it was great. We got one email basically agreeing and then one email completely the other side. It was this great dichotomy.
About the pornography?
Mm-hmm. About the pornography and about the playing games on easy. And one bit that Ben wrote to us, he says, I think this – basically, I like playing games on easy, blah, 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 blah. I think this may be as a result of the fact that I play games for the same reason that I read books, pure escapism. I think it would be fair to say that I have a reasonably normal life, a regular job, etc., and playing games gives me the ability to step out of this and experience something that wouldn't ordinarily be available to me in real life. And, of course, he goes on more. So he's talking about games that, like you're saying, have a narrative.
Right.
And so the whole question is your goal. I'm playing this game. My goal is to experience or to read through or watch, be a part of this storyline.
Right. You know what? There's actually one other thing that I think exacerbates the situation, and that's that in a lot of narrative-based games, the mechanics, or when you get into like, okay, now I'm playing the game type of thing, they seem so arbitrary and sudden because everything has to be, you know, in this world of narrative, and then they're switching it to like a gameplay world, right? And a lot of things happen where, like, they don't do the gameplay very, how should I say, they don't put a lot of thought into it a lot of times. And there's a lot of unfair scenarios that happen, right? I mean, like, difficulty curves in narrative games, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Like, in the beginning, it'll get, like, really hard all of a sudden, and then it's really easy, and it just seems like it just goes up and down randomly. And, like, who wants to deal with that, right? So I think in a lot of narrative games, you get thrown all this stuff that you're not prepared to deal with, and I think that's another reason why, you know, a lot of people don't want to be challenged when they're playing these games.
Well, what I was trying to say is basically you've got your goal and anything that hinders your goal, right? And so the question is, how do we identify the goal, or what is the goal in any particular situation? So it's great because you can compare Rich and I, right? Rich plays a lot of role-playing games, a lot of story-driven games. And he says he plays on easy.
I don't know if I would say a lot of role-playing games, but I do play role-playing games.
Yeah. Now, I, on the other hand, almost exclusively play games for the gameplay, for the experience of the actual gameplay, rather than the story. And so when I say I don't play games on easy, it's because I'm never playing a game where I care about the story. I play Mario. I play music games. I play games where the fact that I have to use the controller and manipulate something, that's what I'm focusing on, not on the storyline. And that's why I say I'm never going to play a game on easy. Even when I play Call of Duty, there's a little bit of story, but I'm playing because I want the challenge of shooting the guy through the heart or whatever the hell I have to do.
Yeah, but I mean, even in Call of Duty 4 or whatnot, like, I played on easy single player, but
well, you're
obviously
a tool, then.
There isn't that option of playing multiplayer, and I really enjoy the challenge in multiplayer games because it's the, oh, I'm better than you, or, wow, you're way better than me, so now I need to get better so I can get better at you, and then I can say, haha, I'm better than you. Like, that's what the challenge is. Like, there's no reason for me to say, oh, I figured out how to play this game by myself, and, or whether, I mean, sometimes it's just bad game design, and the story might be good, and so you want to put it on easy because it's frustrating to play on harder difficulties. Or I would just, I mean, Pen15 in the chat here was giving an example of God of War earlier, or Ninja Gaiden. You know, like, God of War, I played on easy the first time through, and then I played on hard the second time through because it was a game that was worth playing multiple times. But I would just rather get that feeling of ripping wings off harpies and shoving swords in Cyclops' eyes than having to be frustrated doing it.
Meanwhile, it pisses me off that beating the big guys is simply a matter of pressing square when it puts square on the screen.
But it's not about the difficulty of shoving a sword in a person's eye. It's just about the I press the button and a sword, I just stabbed that dude in the face.
Dude,
and
like
blood
last night,
splattered
yeah,
everywhere.
Do you know that you didn't really stab him?
All right,
no,
hang on a second.
The character did.
Jared's been wanting to say things. We only have 2 minutes left, so I want Jared to jump in here.
Take a perfect example of Halo 3, for example. I mean, you play on easy or medium and heroic, and you won't get the legendary ending.
Hang on a second. Norm, why am I hearing music that's not ours? All right, let's keep going.
And you don't get the legendary ending, you know, what actually shows that. I mean, there might be an alternate ending, you know?
I don't know if I ever played legendary and saw the real
ending.
Never
played legendary?
I don't know if I did.
Oh, okay.
Guys, I just want to mention something. I guess as we get older, I mean, I'm using myself as an example. I used to spend hours and hours playing games. Now, my attention span gets shorter and shorter every year. And,
yes.
And
that's
and
a topic we covered last week, actually.
And more surely.
Well, that's why I think, for me, if I want to really get into a game, I'll play easy. Because if something's too challenging, I'll just put it down.
You don't have time for that. You've got better things. You've got a store to run.
Exactly.
Man, I could keep talking about this. That's if you're playing a story game. If you're playing a game where you want to actually play the game, it's just like you said, Rich. You play Rock Band on hard or on expert because you're playing for
because
the game
experience.
Because it's
boring on medium.
But it's because
me.
You're playing for the game experience.
That's yeah.
Right?
That's part of it.
Mario,
because
I'm gonna play
to me,
on.
It's fun to play on a harder difficulty. Just like I said, I mean, like God of War, I played it through again on a harder difficulty. I've played Halo, you know, the Halo 1 through 3 on multiple difficulties because it's fun.
All right. We got to go. End
right.
of the show.
Maybe
I'm
next.
Sorry.
Maybe next week.
Maybe next week. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Val. Thanks, Jared. We love you all.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info in the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.